This is July 3rd, 2016, holiday weekend here in the United States. I don't know where you're listening from, but if you had a good holiday, hope you did. This is the Strong Style Story Podcast, episode 11. I'm your host Jeffrey Wessel. With me this time is Steve Cash.
Hey, how's it going?
And back with us once again, special guest cartoonist JB Rowe.
Hey.
And since last we spoke, I just want to personally apologize for last episode because it was a technical nightmare, including having to re-record the beginning of the show after the fact because it didn't record properly, and my laptop took the dump of death in the middle of recording it, so I actually had to get a new laptop. So hopefully this episode won't kill any technology on anybody's end this time around. So JB, do you have any technical issues you're having today?
No, I'm using my phone because my laptop isn't the best for Skype.
Okay, you're on your phone. Yeah, that's how I ended up ending the show last time, having to get on my phone to
Yeah.
do it. But somehow we did it.
Sometimes you just gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, and yeah, and Chris was the editing master last episode. So yeah, oh boy, which was a shame because it may be a mixed blessing that we had to re-record the opening because in the midst of it, not JB, Steve had told like one of the most horrible stories I'd ever heard ever regarding Muhammad Ali and Vince McMahon wanting to do something in that infamous Ali Inoki fight. But we're not going to get into it here because, as I said, it was one of the most horrible things I'd ever heard in my life.
Hey, it was a brilliant idea in Vince's head.
Well, yeah. Anyway, that's for other podcasts to to discuss what goes on in Vince McMahon's head.
Oh,
We'll see what.
is that going to be our new podcast? The Vince McMahon is a tire fire.
It could be. We could do have that. Although on that note, I do want to mention, I'm working out the details and the scheduling, but we may be doing a special edition of this show in the next week or so, to focus on Super J Cup. But since the lineups for that still haven't been fully announced, we're not ready for that yet. But I'm also trying to get some special guests to discuss some of the other wrestlers that are going to be in Super J Cup, that ones that we collectively may not be familiar with, such as folks from KDojo and Dragon Gate and CMLL. So, but stay tuned for that. So that'll be hopefully coming up in the next week or so. But since last we spoke, we've had two, I guess, mega shows. One not so mega as the other. But it still kind of counts because I had two, some title defenses. But on June the 19th, we had Dominion 619 in Osaka Joe Hall. I thought that was a fantastic show, top to bottom, even though it blew out my big prediction for how the New Japan year was going to go,
There's still time.
which we've talked about numerous times on this show. So. But the upshot of which was Kazuchika Okada actually managed to regain the IWGP Heavyweight Championship from Tetsuya Naito in what was a pretty fantastic match, I thought.
Absolutely. JB, have you had a chance to see that yet?
I'm sorry, you cut out there for a moment.
Have you had a chance to see Dominion?
Yes, that's what we're
Okay.
talking about, right?
Yes.
Yes.
One of the biggest things I could say about this show was, first of all, we got a lot of predictions wrong on this one. Because I think we thought that we thought that Sonata was, we thought that Yoshihashi was going to have to wait till G1 Climax to get his win over Seiya Sonata. But no, it happened in the third match, the tag match
Yeah,
instead.
can I just say that during that match when Bushi is choking out who was it with the t-shirt, his t-shirt that he had?
Wasn't he choking Yoshihashi?
Yeah, it was Yoshihashi. Yeah. And then the ref is like, yeah, you can't do that. And he tosses the shirt out, and then Sonata immediately and tosses it to Bushi, and then Bushi uses it to choke out
Yoshihashi. Yeah.
I thought that was a great moment.
Yeah, I mean, they did have some good moments in that one.
That is Fred.
Yeah, Goto, Hirooki Goto got a win over Evil. So we kind of knew that one. We kind of knew that one was coming.
Yeah. Man, I feel bad for Goto.
Yeah, that's another common recurring theme on starting to become another recurring theme on this show is feeling bad for Hirooki Goto.
And there was some booze being thrown at him.
Yeah, I don't know why, because I mean, it's not like Evil.
Oh, I know
is...
why.
Okay, why?
He's being booked poorly. He's been booked poorly.
Well, that's true. He has been. I don't doubt that, but...
I mean, why would you cheer him based on how they're booking him?
Well, I mean, he seems to be settling in chaos, though, at least. But, yeah, he still seems to be kind of a running dog, too.
They got some spiffy red tights now.
Yeah, all that waterfall training really got him over the top there.
Yeah, I still don't know what the hell that was about. especially when he did the Aramusha paint, and then he just had a regular Goto match.
Him and Evil really should be in a tag team together, like a Dungeon of Doom style ridiculous tag.
Well, they better do something because Evil, I think, is like the least of the members of Ingobernables now, and actually probably pretty much always has been.
Yeah, I mean he's basically Kevin Sullivan.
Yeah, which is, go ahead.
I would still put Evil above Sonata, I would think. He's pretty much Naito's heavy still.
I would say Sonata is the heavy now.
Mm. Yeah, I mean Sonata seems to be getting a little bit more of a push.
He just got booked by Yoshihashi.
I mean, remind me when Evil got to face Okada for the title. Oh right, no, that was Sonata.
Well, he didn't. Well,
or not for the title.
Not for the
just,
title. No.
Just the fact that he got to face Okada in a semi-main event. I mean, that's.
Well, he's got a point, Steve.
I think we're splitting hairs.
It's pretty big hair. It's pretty big hair.
Hey, while we're on the subject of who's the geeks and who's the heavies now, Bad Luck Fale, Yujiro Takahashi, and Adam Page seem to be becoming their own unit within Bullet Club now, especially since the Gorillas of Destiny are off in Mexico right now.
Don't even get me started, man.
No, we love throwing Yujiro Takahashi under the bus on this show, so.
Not even Yujiro. I mean, Christ, that whole, it's a wreck.
Well, Adam, yeah, so far, what was that?
That was my phone vibrating. Oh. Sorry.
But the whole Adam Page and Adam Cole for that matter in Bullet Club has been a slow boat to nowhere so far. Even though there was a spoiler about, you know, them shaving Jay Lethal's head in Ring of Honor. But yeah, it's been a slow boat to nowhere as far as I can tell.
Can we just say that Fale in a contemporary pro wrestling match in 2016, actually did the nerve pinch hold during the... Let's just think about that for a moment.
Let's try to meditate on... Well, I guess the good news is that, you know, at least they're being still booked against, you know, Yoshitatsu and Captain New Japan.
Actually, Captain New Japan might be my new favorite of that stable, of that whole group.
Of Tanahashi and his amazing friends.
Yeah, we'll get to that during the Omega Elgin match.
Yeah, well, moving along. The Young Bucks regained the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles, beating the then defending champions Matt Sydal and Ricochet, Roppongi Vice and Red Dragon. Is it just me, or is an elimination tag team match kind of a waste of the format?
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a way. Yeah, because why do you have an elimination match that eliminates two guys at once? I mean, wouldn't it make more sense, like, okay, the guy who gets thrown over is eliminated, but, you know, you still have another, you know, the other guy can still wrestle till he's eliminated?
I think the short answer is they were just trying to think of something to make this match fresh, and this was the best they can come up with.
I mean,
well, go ahead, Jamie.
I mean, personally, I would say that the reason why they're doing this is Gato has no idea what to do with their stacked juniors division, you know?
Well, unfortunately, that may be the case. The junior tag team titles have not been very thrilling for quite some time, and it seems like that is where they just kind of put people. But
it's a showcase division.
It is a showcase division. I don't deny that, but still, I still think that. Doing an over the top, you know, doing an elimination match that way in that fashion, it kind of is a waste of the format, in my opinion. But I mean, again, what do I know?
No, it's totally true. I mean, the titles don't mean anything, and these four ways are getting really old really fast.
Well, I mean, we already know that it's going to open up Wrestle Kingdom 11, no matter who's in the match.
Oh God, yeah.
I mean, we already know. Oh, I'm sorry. It not necessarily opening Wrestle Kingdom 11. It'll be after the New Japan Rumble,
which is just as important.
Yoshiaki Fujiwara and Kabuki need their payday.
Didn't we see Yoshiaki Fujiwara was like, where did he work recently? Didn't he work Dragon Gate recently?
I don't know. He shows up anywhere that will book him. Anywhere that offers a hot meal, Yoshiaki Fujiwara will show up.
All right, moving on. What was a fantastic match? The second go-around between Kushida and Will Ospreay for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. I thought that match was brilliant.
Mm. Yeah, not quite as good as their first match, I thought. But, yeah, just...
No, and you know the thing is that from my recollection, it wasn't as spot heavy as the first one too. Like Ospreay was actually maybe some of that criticism is actually starting to get to Ospreay a little bit.
It also may have been, personally speaking, I hadn't seen a lot of Ospreay, so when I watched that match with Kushida, it blew me away the things that he could do. So maybe it was the fact that I've already seen, you know, the first match. It wasn't as impressive, but it still was a great match. You know, I can't really think of anything off the top of my head that I could really pick, you know, negatively about it.
Yeah,
I think this rematch shouldn't have happened as soon as it did. I think New Japan kind of pulled the trigger too early because of all of the ravings that went on with Ricochet and Ospreay, but that's whatever.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, yeah, I could see that too. I actually thought that it might have been Bushi and Ospreay that would meet in the final of Best Super Juniors. I think you and I said that a couple shows ago.
Yeah, that would have been great.
Yeah, and it would have kept up the storyline.
Exactly.
Would have kept up the what do you call it? The feud between the Ingobernables and Chaos. Yeah. Too. So.
Come on, Gato.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, come on, Gato, call me. All right, you gotta kill that man. you got to kill that. All right, I just heard something scream. Did you actually kill it?
Sorry, that was my little dog.
Oh God! Oh no! All right, moving on. Another match I had absolutely no interest in it all, which is sad. One thing to note, Kushida was the only champion that actually retained his title at Dominion.
That's interesting. I didn't notice that until you pointed that out.
Yeah, he was the only one.
Hmm.
Including this next match, which I had no interest in. The Briscoes defeating Yeah, the Briscoes defeating the Gorillas of Destiny. I just ignored this match entirely.
You know, I don't mind the Briscoes, but Gorillas of Destiny just don't do anything for me. I get what they're doing. It's the typical, you know, it's basically what they've been doing since they had Giant Bernard and Carl Anderson. There's just something about them that's not working. I don't know if it's necessarily Tama. I don't know if it's his brother. I don't know if it's both of them together. You know, I'm not a big fan of Tongaloa. You know, so far he's not impressing me in New Japan. You know, something about him is missing. You know, I don't know if he just needs time to adapt to New Japan or the Japanese style, but I don't know.
Well, I think part of the issue is that, you know, whenever Tama Tonga was given promo time, which was kind of rare, it didn't flow very well, which may not be the worst thing in New Japan. But
he was pretty terrible.
Yeah. But yeah, I did not. Yeah, I didn't care about this match one bit. And then the fact that their next challengers apparently are going to be Yujiro Takahashi and Adam Page.
I know, that's another thing. As soon as they lost him, they just kind of were an afterthought. So I don't know if New Japan is of the same opinion, or if they're going to come back and challenge after. Sorry, well, go ahead, JB.
Yeah, do you?
Did no, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say. Well, I mean, right now, Tama Tonga is being pushed hard in Mexico right now. While you know, there's Kushida, the Gorillas of Destiny, and Michael Elgin are all in CMLL because they've been taking part in, you know, the Elite Internacional, and then on Friday night there was the CMLL Grand Prix Internacional, and Tama Tonga and Michael Elgin are getting over huge in Mexico, but we could talk about that a little bit later. But I'm just wondering if there's you know, this may be a sign important of things to come here.
There's no doubt that Tama's a really good talent, so I'm sure he's doing very good in Mexico right now.
I'm just thinking maybe this whole tag team thing just really wasn't the best idea for him. I mean, it got him a belt, but so what?
Yeah, the fact that you don't see Loa on the G1, I think, is telling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised. I'm actually surprised Sonata made it in, because he's been around about the same length of time as Tongaloa.
Yeah, but it makes more sense that Sonata's in it, considering his placement on the card.
Yeah, you know, that's true, too. But between Gorillas of Destiny and the Briscoe brothers, and now the Briscoes against Takahashi and Page coming up, yeah, I just the heavyweight tag team side is just useless to me right now.
I personally am looking forward to when the Briscoe brothers defend their titles next, because I'm really looking forward to them when they just wear full ghillie suits.
Wait, what?
Yeah, did you not notice the ghillie pants that they were wearing during the entirety of the match?
Well, no, because I missed the whole... No, I ignored this match.
I actually watched this match, and it wasn't terrible, considering. I think Briscoe's actually carried most of the match.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying anything about... Okay, yeah, the Briscoes are great workers, yes. There's no doubt about that, but I got, you know, there's more than one reason to not like someone. And I think with the Briscoes, I think everybody involved pretty much knows why I don't like them.
Sure. But I mean, in terms of, I don't know. I mean, I watched it. I thought it was all right. It wasn't memorable or anything, but you know,
it was perfectly fine. I mean, I didn't mean to imply that it was a bad match. I just meant more about G.O.D. Themselves, but I actually thought the match was okay. The crowd's really into the Briscoes. That helps.
Yeah, they are over in New Japan. That much is true. And of course, you know, when you had Toriano, you know, kind of being their patrons at first, that might have helped, because Toriano is incredibly popular too. So. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to dog this match because I just didn't care about it. I didn't watch it, so.
It was a popcorn match for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I was not invested in the match at all, but I did watch it.
But I mean, continue on, you know, with the Briscoes and their next, their apparent next challengers. It's like, well, why, you know? It's just this is the state of the tag of the heavyweight tag division in New Japan now.
Yeah, if there's something positive to take away from it, I think Adam Page might do pretty well in Japan.
Yeah, he might need to lose his whole Hangman thing, though, like yesterday.
He's such a cornball gimmick, too.
It totally is. I mean, not that, you know, not that he wasn't cornball when he was, with BJ Whitmer in the decade. Yeah.
Oh, God. No, yeah.
Yeah, now that wasn't cornball. I mean, maybe that's just Adam Page's lot in life, is to be cornball. Maybe him, Goto, Yoshitatsu, and Evil.
Eventually. That's a great
stable. There we go. Yeah, there's a new stable for you. Ah,
Dungeon of Dorks.
Oh, my God. We're just saying, because we like Evil, we like Goto, but they're just stuck in these cornball things right now. But moving on, a match that definitely was not cornball. Katsuyori Shibata regaining the never open weight championship against Yuji Nagata. That might be that's my third favorite match of the night, I think.
Yeah, this is where the shows picked up and got really good.
Yeah. Can I just say Nagata really should come into the ring with the popped collar polo. I think that's
you think that's
really good.
That might be a good look on him, honestly.
Of course, drunk Euro Dad is a great gimmick for Nagata.
Careful, you'll make Shinpei Nogami cry again.
Oh.
We say too much negative. you saw Shinpei Nogami like crying crocodile tears after.
Oh, they weren't crocodile tears. That man was.
I mean, yeah, that man has a lot of feelings.
he had a lot of feels. Yes. Yeah. He couldn't. His hero couldn't retain on his first defense. He cries.
I love this match. I was gonna say it's maybe my second, but it's probably like my third. But so good. Just I don't even know what to really say about it. It's pretty much, I think it's safe to say, Nagata's last hurrah. And I think that
definitely
also might have played into Nogami's emotional reaction.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that was part of it too. And yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody thought that Nagata was going to do a long-term. Oh, pardon me, run with a never belt, but unfortunately, that did end. You know, probably one of our favorite programs of the New Japan year so far, which was that Shibata against the third generation, because I guess the hatchet's been buried, because on the Kizuna Road Tour, Shibata was teaming with the third generation on these shows.
And he beat the dads, so he joined the dads.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
Earn their respect.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very cool, it was a very cool feud that went on, I thought.
And in this day and age, it's very rare to get such a nicely wrapped storyline, you know, with a beginning, middle, and an end.
Yeah, that's true.
Take what you can get.
That's true. Moving on, the ladder match, Intercontinental Championship, Kenny Omega lost to Michael Elgin. We completely did not see that one coming. I think we all thought Omega was going to retain that one.
Yeah, when Tanahashi got replaced, I always thought there was a chance, because that seems to happen more often than not. When a wrestler gets replaced, they'll flip the switch to give kind of the fans home happy. And in this case, I'm glad they did, because they told an incredible story. And, you know, New Japan's not really known for cinematics or camera work, but there was some great camera work and shots in this match that I just loved. You know, like, specifically speaking, you know, like the not to jump ahead, but the very end where Elgin rips off the handcuffs. Like, I just thought that was a great shot, great moment, great spot. And I'll shut up about this match. I'll let someone else talk. You can tell I love this match.
Yeah, I liked it. I wouldn't say it was one of my favorites, but it was good.
My first favorite was probably, you know, Okada Naito. Second favorite, Kushida Osprey. Third, Shibata Nagata. I think this will be like a solid fourth. Mm-hmm. You know,
but I think one reason I liked it was for the originality. You know, and sorry, I have to go on a short tangent. This is not the first New Japan ladder match. I pointed this out. This is the second.
At least the second. That we
At
know
least
of.
The second. Yeah.
But the first
I don't
one,
know.
But the first one was like some. It was like for like some bandana or something.
It was a very mild match, but still. But yeah, I don't know. But I guess I like this more than most, but. Just, I thought they came up with clever spots. You know, I don't want to see this all the time. Don't get me wrong. I don't even want to see this next year. Maybe a couple of years from now they can bring it back. But
I think when they originally booked this, they were hoping that it was still going to be Tanahashi. So I think they were almost counting on getting a high fly flow spot from the top of the ladder.
Oh, you would have broken to 10 pieces.
I think they were almost counting on it, but instead, I think it was. I think JB even said it even with Tanahashi that you thought it was going to be more of a Razor Ramon Shawn Michaels ladder match rather than like the Edge and Christian Hardy Boys Dudley Boys matches.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a spot they didn't do that I was surprised by. That would have been simple, but effective, where you could have had Elgin climbing the ladder, and then Omega comes up between his legs and lands, one winged angel or what have you.
Oh yeah, that would have been cool actually. Yeah, you're right. Had they gone that way.
Yeah, and that couldn't. I mean, that wouldn't even have to be the finish, too. That's the thing.
Yeah,
but.
And of course, we also got another, Red Shoe suck it to the Young Bucks.
Oh yeah,
it's the 1 year anniversary of him doing that to the entire Bullet Club during Styles and Okada.
That was pretty funny.
So. It was a decent match. I wonder what's going to be next for Elgin. I mean, are we going to be continuing to milk this Elgin Omega feud, or...
I hope not. Oh, God.
I said before, I like Omega. I think during the run-up to Dominion, his, I guess that would have been during Best of Super Juniors, actually, because there wasn't a road to Dominion. It was during... BOSJ, but I actually found his shtick was actually starting to grate on me a little bit.
Yeah, well, it didn't help either. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, going by the blocks in the G1, I would guess that we're going to get a continuation, because they're in the same block.
Yeah, I mean, there is a bit of that, and we'll be getting to that, because we're going to be talking some G1 here.
Yeah, and I'd prefer to see that play out in G1 rather than at another event.
Oh, for another Intercontinental match?
Yeah, like, let's not do that. Let's...
Yeah. Lastly, the Kazuchika Okada completely destroys my Wrestle Kingdom 11 prediction.
Oh, not yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, unless you somehow see Naito regaining the title and Okada somehow getting the shot at G1.
They could do it in reverse.
Yeah, well, it'll be in reverse.
Okay. You're right. This was a good match, and I think Okada rules Osaka, because there were Okada chants, like, even before the match started, like when they were doing the presentation of, you know, the video presentation of all the past IWGP champions.
He was insanely over, because I noticed that too.
Oh god, yeah, but I mean, and then when you go to that show on the 27th and Karaka, it's back to like 50-50 Okada Naito.
Yeah, it's very interesting how the different areas react differently. Not any different here in America, because there's different areas that are more, you know, more into heels, more into faces.
Well, that's true, and you know, there's always, what is it? Is it the what is it? Chicago is the Raw that nobody wants because it's always the one that gets
the CM Punk chants. Yeah,
yeah, or you know, yeah, but as far as the match goes, I thought this was a fantastic match, though. I mean, it was worthy of the main event that I got, even with the, you know, the surprise. I honestly thought Naito would retain for longer, but when you look at it, a lot of the classic, you know, all-time great New Japan guys on their first reign didn't have very long reigns.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was something like Chono only lasted like 1 month, and Keiji Muto only lasted 1 or 2 months. Okada lasted like 4, but
I think like 3 months seems to be the average for a lot of people's first reigns.
Yeah, 3 months/what, you know, 1 or 2 defenses.
Pretty much, yeah.
So I mean, there's still plenty of time for Tetsuya Naito to have a long run with it, if you ask me.
What about that run-in?
Yeah. Oh yeah, you were gonna say something about Captain New Japan earlier, and we.
Yeah, man, like the most important part of the match. Come on.
We're going back to the ladder match, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You skipped right over it. I was surprised.
I'm sorry. Captain New Japan tends to make Steve start swearing. So
it was one time.
And one time was enough, Steven. By the way, the ladder match was the longest match on the show, too, by the way.
Yeah, 33 minutes.
But, overall, though, yeah, it was, I don't think there was a 5-star match on the show, but then again, I don't typically tend to go for the whole star ratings thing anyway, so. But I mean, I thought it was a great show. I was very surprised at the number of titles that actually changed hands at this show.
Yeah, that still kind of catches me off guard. But the show went by really fast when I watched it, so that's usually a good sign that it's a good show.
Yeah,
and who was that guy sitting next to Kidani?
As Shinya Aoki, MMA fighter / occasional pro wrestler.
Oh, okay.
Was that who that was?
Yeah, he does a lot of stuff for Inoki nowadays. It's kind of interesting. So I don't know if that's just something people are reading too much into, or if he's going to come in like Sakuraba.
That's a good question. How about Naito hassling Kidani this time as opposed to Milano?
Yeah, I thought Milano was going to get it this show, but this is a very interesting storyline. I don't know if they're going to keep drawing it out or what.
It's not a bad one. I mean, it kind of fits with the character that Naito's doing too, to be you know, constantly running down Kidani.
As long as Kidani doesn't join Los Ingobernables de Japón, we'll be okay.
Yeah, Kidani needs to not be part of the.
He pulls an Eric Bischoff.
Oh, yeah, that's my fear.
Oh my god!
You know he wants to. Down. I mean, they pretty much had to sit him down and say, "Listen, no, you need to do your job and run your company and make us money, so we can keep going and make you money."
Yeah, I think the one thing nobody is clamoring for in New Japan is an owner angle.
Well, we've already seen how that worked in All Japan a couple of years ago.
What, with Muto?
No, with I believe his name is Nobuo Shiraishi.
You never heard of that guy. Oh yeah. Oh, the guy that pissed off Muto. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, God, no. All Japan should basically be dead because of him.
Well, and again, this is for another podcast to discuss. But yeah, I mean that should show you that. Yeah, I think Jado and Gato are pretty wise in not having Kidani be an active part of New Japan. You know, on
fine line tread.
Well, it is, but I mean, let's face it. I mean, let's face it. Austin versus McMahon was 20 years ago now. I mean, come on. Let's move on now. Although, you know, there was a great tweet that was going around the other day that's saying that, you know, he hoped that this person hoped that, you know, Bernie Sanders' speech at the Democratic convention was basically just going to be him reciting the hard times promo word for word. And on that note, I guess we don't do political humor on this show. So, moving on. are we okay here?
I just didn't have anything to add.
Say what?
I just didn't have anything to add.
Yeah, this isn't like anybody else did either.
The only thing I had to add was I actually thought the match was very, very good. Probably up there with Naito's match with Ishii in terms of quality.
Was it as good as the one at Invasion Attack?
What, with Naito and Okada?
Yeah.
In some ways, because there was no outside interference.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the interference doesn't bother me so much anymore. I don't know. Maybe I'm just accustomed to it. I feel like if you save it, you know, and for the right moment, it's okay. I go by the crowd mostly. You know, if the crowd hates it, then yeah, they're doing it too much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even today.
I also have years of Dragon Gate in my system, which is basically the king of outside interference. So that might be my problem.
What? Not 1998 WCW?
No, well, that's American wrestling. I can differentiate the two.
I mean, I would say that this match and the new Invasion Attack, they were pretty on par. In terms of quality. And also shock value. Like, no one thought Naito was going to win that. Nobody thought Okada was going to win this.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, we certainly all thought that Naito was going to retain, so.
Yeah, I would agree.
So.
And also, that the spots that they were pulling off were fantastic, especially out on the walkway.
Oh, yeah, God, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
At this point, it still does feel like the main event of Wrestle Kingdom is going to be Naito and Okada, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
we'll see what happens when Tanahashi wins the G1 Climax.
Oh, don't you start. So there was another show today, the last Kizuna Road show, which I guess wasn't really a major show. Because I mean, it wasn't in like a big arena. It was 2,100 people were there.
No commentary. That should tell you everything.
Yeah, no commentary. But you know, there were some title matches today too. The never openweight 6-man comedy belts were up for grabs, and so, to my surprise, the team of Satoshi Kojima, Ricochet, and Matt Sydal beat the Bullet Club Elite for the belt. So I guess now Kojima gets a belt. a one last run at a title.
Very strange. I mean, It's not in the sense that it's a surprise to see the title change, because, like you said, they're comedy titles. They're going to go around, but I don't know. It just, it's a weird title change. I don't see Kojima, Ricochet, and Matt Sydal being this, like, long-standing team.
Well, I mean, maybe. I mean, but especially
it was a good match.
It was a fun match. I mean, did you guys all saw the news about Ricochet this week though too, right?
What news?
He is not returning for season 4 of Lucha Underground. He is walking away from it.
That's what it sounds like.
Oh yeah, that I knew. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we knew one thing, but you know, as we also know from the setup of you know, the fantasy setup of Lucha Underground, that's not necessarily a roadblock for a character returning either. So, but yeah, Ricochet has said that he's not going to be back for that. Now, where does that leave him for now? I don't know, because the Lucha Underground contract is not up on completion of taping. It's on completion of broadcast. So whenever WWE, if he's going to go to WWE, it's not going to be until after season 3 of Lucha Underground's done being shown. Whenever that is. So it won't be until 2017. Now, the contract also states that he can't be on any televised wrestling show, which means he won't be on Ring of Honor. He won't be in Ring of Honor either. But apparently, I'm guessing that that doesn't include New Japan on Access, because he was just on that Friday night, you know, re-showing, you know, the match between him and Kushida from the G1 final in 2015. But I'm guessing that maybe there's a slight difference between, because of the time delay between, you know, the episodes on Access.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how that works in the sense of legality, but sorry, I had sentimental, like, brain fart. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that, so. Also keep in mind, too, that contractual stuff stating that you can't work for a period of time is kind of BS.
There's ways around it, yeah.
There are ways around it, and, I mean, yeah, it may be BS, but, I mean, there's reasons for that. So we don't have instances like, you know, the Rick Rude showing up on two shows on one night way back.
Oh, the good old days.
Yeah. So, I'm not sure what the future holds for there. Matt Sydal, we don't know what his status is either. I think he said he may be signing with New Japan, but that hasn't happened yet. So
I think New Japan will gladly take Sydal, and they'll gladly have Ricochet until he's able to get to NXT.
Yeah. Well, if nothing else, I mean, we say we don't know how long that they're going to stick around as a team with Kojima. Well, I mean, at least they were color coordinated today. So, I mean, if that's not commitment, I don't know what is. But, and then Kojima did something else today too, which we'll get to that in a little bit, because it's relevant to our next topic. There was another elimination match between Chaos and the Ingobernables. I don't have the entire order of it, other than I know that Naito and Okada eliminated each other first. So, but the match ended with Will Ospreay hitting an Aus Cutter on Bushi to win it for Chaos. Are we down for an Ospreay Bushi feud?
Oh yeah, they had great chemistry. And some crazy spots too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm down for a feud for that. Although, you know, what's going to be next for Kushida in the IWGP title? Who will be next there?
Maybe the Super J Cup winner.
Well, there's a thought.
Yeah. Also, I don't know. I mean, considering how well Taguchi did during the Best of the Super Juniors. I could see him as a possible contender.
Well, he got pinned. Who was that pinned him? Kyle O'Reilly, Bushi, and one other one. I can't remember now, and I'm not going to go look. But basically, there's three people that can have challenges on him now because of pinning during Best of Super Juniors. But I don't remember who it was, so...
Anyway. I'm trying to find it.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember either.
Was it Bobby Fish?
No, Bobby Fish was in a different... No, Bobby Fish was in a different block.
Oh, he was in a different block. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it was... Kyle O'Reilly pinned Kushida on the first night. Bushi pinned him on the last group stage night.
Yeah.
And then... Who pinned him? Oh, well. We'll figure it out eventually. So, anyway. And then the main event today, Katsuyori Shibata retaining against Tomoki Honma. Which, I'm not sure why that feud was a thing. Exactly.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I mean, once again, reminder, Tomoki Honma has allegations of domestic abuse hanging over him from Kyoku Ichiki. Just saying.
I noticed some people on the road to where people were booing Honma.
Is that right?
Yeah, I picked up on that.
I did not, so.
And they were chanting Shibata real loud.
I think the crowd is actually kind of behind Shibata.
Not kinda. They're definitely behind Shibata.
Well, did you guys see the comments that Shibata said about the comments that Shibata said about Honma?
Yeah, sounds like typical Shibata.
JB, did you see this?
Maybe. What was it?
He's very to the point about things.
Jealousy is an ugly thing. Hanma's a jealous, two-faced son of a bitch. Spineless. A Kokeshi without a spine is not much of a Kokeshi at all. Of course, Kokeshi is, you know, his diving headbutt, but it's also a tiny little Japanese doll. It's like a big with a big head and, you know, slim body. It's kind of what Nintendo used as the basis for the Miis, actually. So.
Oh, look at you.
But yeah, so yeah, Shibata took out Honma, and unfortunately he didn't say anything about it as a victory for women everywhere, I don't know. I mean, I can't really get behind a Honma match at this point. Which,
yeah, I could do with that.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they're even giving him this little of a push at this point, it really just kind of turns me off of him, to be quite frank. Well, and you know, unanswered allegations of domestic abuse too. You know, tends to, you know, take away take the shine off of somebody. But anyway, so that was Kizuna Road. The next major shows are going to be G1 Climax, which we're going to get to here in 2 seconds. Before that, though, New Japan will be at the C3 Kara Expo in Singapore, which is basically an anime con in Singapore. But New Japan owners Bushiroad, who do, you know, mostly gaming cards, are going to have a huge presence there. So, yeah, New Japan are going to do a couple of three-match exhibition shows on Saturday and Sunday next weekend. So I don't think those are going to be shown on New Japan World either. So, but, you know, they are where they are. They're just kind of little blow-off matches. So, all righty. So, who wants to talk some G1 Climax?
Man, it's going to be a month long.
It's a long one. I mean, remember back when G1 was only like 2 weeks long?
I know, the good old days. Right? No, not really. I have a big problem with the schedule, but it's for a reason. You know, it's for their health. So I can't really be that upset.
Well, what's your big problem with the schedule? Just the fact that it's so
long? Well, just the fact that it's so long. You know, I mean, I guess if you're just used to following sports, it's not a problem. But it's just, you know, it's such commitment, you know? Just following it and knowing where the placements are. And I mean, it's going to be so many good matches, though. So it feels silly to complain.
It's going to be a, I know they've announced the full blocks yet. And I haven't had a chance to look at that. I mean, the full block match lineups. And I haven't had a chance to look at that. But, it is going to be a long tournament. It's going to run from the 18th of July until August the 14th. And every show is going to be on New Japan World. But with that in mind, it's also going to be usually probably more often than not just the single fixed camera shows for the most part. Unlike,
yeah,
you know, except for like, you know, Korakuen Hall or some of the bigger venues.
Yeah, I've actually got the lineups here if you want to.
Yeah,
go
I have them here too.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, the full lineups or the...
Yeah, I've got the block lineups and...
I'm just going to go down the... Hey, I'm just going to list who's going to be in the blocks. A block is going to be presumably the return of Hiroshi Tanahashi, which we hope he's not being held together by baling wire and duct tape at this point. Togi Makabe is in there, as is Satoshi Kojima, but... earlier today at the Kizuna Road Show, Kojima offered his spot to Hiroshi Tenzan, who not only was complaining for all of Kizuna Road that he was left out of G1 Climax, but is also being held together by duct tape and baling wire. So our good buddy James Harris is looking forward to seeing if any limbs actually do fall off of Tenzan, if he does make it in ahead of Kojima on these shows. Kazuchika Okada and Tomohiro Ishii and Hirooki Goto from Chaos are in, as are Balak Fale and Tama Tonga. Tonga making his debut from the Bullet Club. We have another debut in Seiya Sanada from Los Ingobernables, and the ace of Pro Wrestling Noah, Naomichi Marufuji, will be making his return to G1. And in fact, that's going to be the main event on the very first show on July the 18th. Steve, do you have any opinions on that?
I think it's a good get for New Japan. Marufuji, I don't know how much Marufuji you've seen in the last few years, but...
I've seen some, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's really come along. You know, he's very innovative. You know, he's kind of put on weight, obviously, but he's still a great worker. His match with Nakamura, phenomenal. I'm looking really forward to this because I think he's going to have him and Okada are going to have a really good match, I feel like.
Yeah, I think this is the first time that they've ever fought together in singles, I think.
Yeah, it's a lot of first-time matches. We've seen Marufuji and Tanahashi before, and it was very good, so I'm looking forward to that one. For some reason, I feel like Marufuji and Goto have been in the same ring together, maybe in one of those New Japan Noah tags, but I could be wrong on that. It's a really good get for New Japan. He's come a long ways in the last few years. You know, he's kind of had to. He had to pick up the torch, you know, for Noah. And, and now that I'm thinking about it, his match with Suzuki is phenomenal. Have you seen the match with Suzuki?
I did see the match with Suzuki, yeah. I mean, that was a good one. And I know that, you know, currently he and Toriano are the Noah Tag Team Champions.
Yeah, that's weird, but, I'm looking forward to it. We're going to see some, actually, we're going to see Marufuji and Sanada, now that I'm looking at it.
Yeah, that's going to be coming up. There's some decent matchups coming up here.
Marufuji and Ishii. Oh, my goodness. I think I'm more excited for that than anything. Marufuji and Ishii.
Oh, boy.
Nakajima versus Shibata.
Well, that'll be in B block.
Yeah.
That'll be in B block. B block has some interesting ones. Yuji Nagata and Katsuyori Shibata and Tomoki Honma in that block as well. Michael Elgin making his anniversary appearance in G1 Climax, because that was what got him over. Mm-hmm. Enough to that New Japan gave him a contract.
Yeah.
Which is great because, I mean, I think we were all kind of iffy on Elgin around that time. And then, you know, he silenced everybody. He silenced all the critics with his G1 performance last year. Yeah. So, Toriano returns to the New Japan ring for Chaos. Yoshihashi makes his G1 debut. Kenny Omega makes his G1 debut.
Yeah.
Evil makes his G1 debut along with Tetsuya Naito for Los Ingobernables. And from NOAH, Katsuhiko Nakajima, the protege of Kensuke Sasaki.
I'm very excited for this.
Yeah, that's going to be wild.
Yeah, as someone who has followed Nakajima for his entire career, you know, I remember when he debuted. I remember his match with Liger in the Tokyo Dome. And just so how much promise he had back then. And while he hasn't quite lived up to it, you know, he's still a phenomenal worker. And he's actually improved drastically over the last couple of years that I've seen. I mean, a couple of years ago, and he was really injured. And, you know, that's his body, he had let himself go. He was wearing parachute pants. I mean, just the state of him. I mean, but in the last couple of years, he's really pulled himself back together. I believe you saw the match from the Fortune Dream Show, the tag match with him. Who was his partner?
Oh, geez, I can't remember now.
But they were facing Kohei Sato. It was Kohei Sato and Ishikawa, right?
I think it was the Twin Towers.
I know they were in the match. They were either together on opposite sides, but just he impressed me so much in that match, so much so that I can't remember anyone else, really.
Well, that wasn't really the match that stood out for me on that show, but I see what you're getting at. So
yeah.
Moving on. B block doesn't have like the star power that A block does, because you know that they set up A block just so they could do another Okada Tanahashi match, which will be on the final day of the block. So I mean, it's like it's almost like you can read the booking of who's going to advance. It's going to be either Okada or Tanahashi.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But the B block, but there's a lot of like five debuts in this year's G1 Climax, which is when was the last time there were so many debuts in a G1 Climax?
Honestly, this you might have to go back to like the mid 2000s maybe. I mean, it's been this. It's aside from a new guy here and there, it's been the same roster for a very long time, at least for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, I still miss Minoru Suzuki being in.
Oh yeah, I know.
I miss that. I mean, he had the 2000. I mean, every G1 Climax is going to be judged against G1 Climax 24 from 2014. There's just no way around it. Yeah, Shibata against Nakajima, though, that's going to be killer.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one, and I know JB is.
Yeah, JB.
I mean, Shibata versus everyone I'm into for G1.
Yeah, I mean, Shibata's first match is going to be against, you know, Honma again, but,
Elgin, he's going to have a match with Elgin. That'll be good.
Elgin will be good. And how about the return of my favorite feud from last year, Shibata and Naito.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like we got Naito and Omega too on the final night.
That's so you know it's gonna be one of those two.
Yeah.
Going through.
But it's still a really interesting match just on
paper.
But
the two leaders of the two big Rudo factions in New Japan against each other. I guarantee you Naito is gonna be the face in that match. I guarantee it. Because they're in Tokyo, for one thing.
Yeah.
And that's where Naito seems to be the baby most of the time.
And Omega's still the Gaijin.
Yeah, it's true. And you know, going back to something we talked about last show, yeah, there still has never been a Gaijin winner of G1 Climax. Which I think that that's going to still remain. I think Naito's going to win it all. So he's going to advance from B block. I think you know the match, I think whoever comes out of A block, it's going to be either Okada or Tanahashi, going by the booking. But lest we forget, Naito has beaten Tanahashi before in a G1 Climax final. And a matter of fact, he's beaten Tanahashi in G1 Climax outside of the final, because he beat him in G1. He beat him in last year's, because that was also the show that had, because they just showed this on Access recently, so it's fresh in our memories. That was the show where he bust out the immortal Tranquilo Japoneses line for the first time. So I'm going to say Naito wins G1 Climax. I think he does it all.
Oh, you're going to hate me, but I really feel like Tanahashi's going to win it.
You really
do.
I think
Naito is a safe bet, but I just, it's Tanahashi, man. He's coming back from injury.
Here's the thing. You can have Tanahashi win the G1 and go on to face Okada again for the title. But I think, interestingly enough, you could have... This is just dream booking, I know.
Well, we do that a lot here, so...
You could have Naito go after Elgin's IC belt and court Kidani and get him to do a vote. The winner of the vote, main events, Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, no.
IC versus the main event, or the IC versus the heavyweight for the main event.
No, they cannot go down that road again.
That would be poetic, if nothing else.
That's what I mean.
Wait.
What would happen?
Think it through.
What would happen, right, exactly, is the fans are going to want to see Naito. They're going to want to see him main event with the IC belt on the line. They've already seen Okada and Tanahashi, and granted, it is Tanahashi, it is Okada, but still, I could see that being a very, very interesting bookend to the story that is Naito up to this point.
Think about this.
Okada doesn't give a crap about that belt, the heavyweight belt. He was just after getting at Okada and his main event spot. He's the ace. Naito knows that one of the ways of getting to Okada as the ace is the belt, but he doesn't give a crap about that belt. So if he can get him at another way, in this case, main eventing Wrestle Kingdom over the IC belt, that's a huge blow to Okada.
Oh, boy. The thing is, both of those guys were legitimately hurt by that vote
Yeah, but it led to some of the best booking decisions ever in the last 10 years, I would say.
Yeah, we can argue that.
We could do a whole show on that. And it's ironic because before the show, I was talking with Steve about they just had a vote in Big Japan for their upcoming Ryogoku-tan show where the World Strong title got voted down like two votes, like 2-1 vote over the World Deathmatch title. At their big Sumo Hall show. Like, this is their biggest show of the year.
Sumo Hall, where deathmatch items are banned.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I wonder how that's gonna work.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, obviously.
Yeah, but... Oh.
Well, you could just as easily do Tanahashi winning and have Naito simply win the briefcase.
Yeah,
it's got to happen at some point.
That's true, too. They have this MacGuffin of the briefcase. Somebody's got to lose it eventually. So actually, you know, that's not a. I think I like Steve's idea better because the vote thing just gives me anxiety. I'm sorry.
That's great. PTSD. That's what wrestling is about, man. Anxiety
making you nervous. What's gonna happen?
Exactly, man.
I already had enough anxiety over the Brexit vote last week. I'm not prepared for another.
Naito doesn't care about your heavyweight belt. Naito doesn't care about your stupid shiny briefcase. I think that's a good story. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I gotta think about it. That's all I gotta say. I gotta think about that one.
How far can he hurl that briefcase?
Yeah, right. I mean, how?
To be fair, that heavyweight belt is very heavy. I'd imagine.
Oh my god, that thing weighs a ton.
It's getting lighter with every throw.
The briefcase might be lighter, honestly.
Yeah, I think the briefcase is probably just like painted. It's just spray painted plastic, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that belt weighs a ton. Like real talk. I don't know. Throw it around some more.
It'll lose more pieces.
I don't know how Naito manages to get the hang time that he does with that thing because.
Yeah. Also, he'll fling it at Okada as if it's bait. And I'm just like, that thing is so heavy. It's so heavy. How are you doing that?
Well, I guess that's why they're heavyweight wrestlers.
Yeah, that's true.
And we're here, and here we are doing a podcast talking about them.
Yep.
So, yeah, anyway, I'll post the full lineups of the tour to the blog here in sometime this week, because I won't have much to talk, you know, much else to blog about. But there are some good first time matches happening in this G1. I still miss Minoru Suzuki being in G1. I thought that the matches he was in, especially in 14, were phenomenal.
Yeah,
I agree. Especially the semifinal match with Okada, and then I think
AJ Styles.
His match with Styles was fantastic.
Yeah,
that blew me away. I mean, AJ was the baby in that match. I mean, right at the height of his, you know, Bullet Club heel persona, he was the baby in a match because of Suzuki.
Will we ever see a Suzuki versus Shibata match?
We have actually. But it was a tag match though. It was Genichiro Tenryu's retirement shows.
Yeah, no. I'm talking straight up one-on-one.
The question is, do we deserve a Shibata and Suzuki?
No.
Singles match.
Yeah.
But I want to see it.
Yes. We may want to see it, but do we deserve it is the real question.
I think I do. Whatever.
Oh, boy. So, anyway, G1 Climax coming up. Of course, starting in the middle of G1 Climax is the Super J Cup, but we already talked about that. We're going to have we're going to try to get together a special episode of this show for the Super J Cup, because that's actually going to be the first day of that is going to happen in between the first and second days of G1 Climax, which is weird. There's like a 4-day gap for G1 between the night one and night two, but what can you do? But like I said, we're going to find out hopefully more this week coming up of who will be in the Super J Cup, because I think Pro Wrestling Noah is going to finalize theirs on Tuesday the 5th. And then we just got to wait on New Japan to decide theirs, Ring of Honor, CMLL, and we also find out who the X is. There's still rumors that it's going to be Jiro Ikemen Kurushio of Wrestle 1 is going to fill in the 16th spot for the Super J Cup, but we haven't heard that yet. I guess the other night, Kurushio did a match as a new persona called Busaiku, teaming with my favorite of all time, the Great Muta, in Wrestle 1. But that match hasn't made tape yet, so I have no idea how well he pulled off a Muda gimmick. So, anyway, Steve, have you heard anything regarding Super J-Cup? Like who could be taking over the 16th spot?
Not really. I've been just kind of following it, you know, like you guys, and I know Noah has their pick was actually I don't know who their pick was. Well, Ogawa up for it?
That yeah,
Hoshinori Ogawa, that's who I'm going for.
He's up for it, but yeah, well Noah is sending three guys to it, and
yeah, I know they were doing tournaments for it.
Yeah, and that wraps up on Tuesday, July the 5th. So Suzuki Gun, they had their one night thing, and Yoshinobu Kanemaru and Taichi are going to the Super J Cup from Suzuki Gun.
Sure, why not?
K-Dojo, Kaji Tamato won their one night tournament, so he's going through.
That's and pretty then, cool. I like that idea that all the companies are doing.
Dragon Gate are just selected Eita.
Out of everyone that's been announced, he's probably the guy I'm most familiar with, and he's
Eita.
Yeah, Eita. Most of the people in Dragon Gate are either competent to phenomenal, so he is really good. So I'm sure he'll do well.
So Eita, he's. He's in Over Generation, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in the stable with Shima and Gamma and
Dragon Kid and
yes,
yeah, and all them, all them old guys wrecked from when they were Toriumon.
Oh man, making me feel old now.
And then Ryukyu Dragon is, I apparently missed this until like a. It was about a month back, they just up and selected a guy named Gurikan Mask to be
I believe he's their ace. So I've heard good things about him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, okay. He's got some internet love.
Yeah. So yeah, that's all that's been announced so far. We're still here. You know, like I said, we're waiting to hear New Japan. Noah will figure it out on the 5th. Of July, and then we just got to wait for, you know, New Japan, Ring of Honor, CMLL, and this mystery promotion, whoever it will be. So, on the note of CMLL and Ring of Honor, am I the only one who's been following what the New Japan guys have been doing in CMLL?
I know Elgin won the Elite. Was it the Elite tournament?
Yeah, he won the Elite tournament. He beat Volador in the final, I think.
I believe he and Kushida are both going to be in the CMLL Grand Prix, correct?
Well, that happened. That happened on Friday. Oh, okay. And everybody. It was Kushida, Elgin, and the Girls of Destiny. Tama Tonga actually was the last man in for the rest of the world. So it came down to between him and Volador. And Volador won that one.
Oh, there you go.
So, Kushida not really being booked very well in CMLL, which is kind of sad considering he is the, you know, reigning IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion.
I know, it's kind of a shame.
He's like been in these nothing matches, whereas it seems like they're really trying to push a Tama Tonga and Volador program to the point where Volador said that he would, you know, love to do a hair versus hair match with Tonga, but Tonga is saying that if he does that, it has to happen in New Japan. So
it's got the good head of hair for it.
Yeah, that will be interesting. Elgin has gotten over rather well, not just because of the win, but I guess on Informa, CMLL's little, you know, news show that they do weekly. Elgin got a really good response when he was on there. And I think, go ahead.
I was going to say, why do you think Elgin could never get over in Ring of Honor, but seems to be able to get over anywhere else that isn't the U.S.?
I that's a good question.
I just think he was stuck in a pattern for so long. You know, no, his character wasn't freshened up. He was just, you know, this power lifter, Michael Elgin from Canada. And, you know, I think he certainly upped his game, you know, since the New Japan move. So I think there's also that. There might have been some stagnation on his part as well.
Yeah.
Well, I could definitely see that. I mean, but let's face it, it was we've talked about it on the show before too, how much of a shock it was that the unlikely pairing of Michael Elgin and Hiroshi Tanahashi just worked so well that it led to a full time contract for him.
Yeah,
you know, he got over in G1. He's, you know, he got the rub from Tanahashi, and by golly, that team actually worked. You know, for being, you know, something that was thrown together, because I think at the time they were looking to, it was going to be, I think I'm pretty sure that the team was going to be Tanahashi and Kota Ibushi before,
yeah,
Ibushi had a herniated everything.
I think that was the talk.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, but you're right. That's a very good point, JB, that, you know, Elgin is, he's got himself way over in New Japan. He's gotten himself over in CMLL now too. You know, to the point where he won the Elite Internacional. But yeah, I mean, why did he fail miserably in Ring? Well, I wouldn't say miserably, but I mean, he just seemed to just be kind of stuck in Ring of Honor.
I mean, my theory would be that the U.S. audience specifically, because the audience is now getting smaller and more towards the diehard demographic, that they...
Well, much like most things in pop culture, really, when you think about it.
Right, but they don't really care too much for the power guys, to be honest. They're more into, you know, the guys that have either really good mat work or the high flyers.
Right. Well, I think, you know, maybe at the same time, I think that there's not really a character like him in CMLL either, I don't think. I mean, I'm not a lucha expert. I mean, I just kind of dabble in it, you know, as it relates to New Japan. But it is not really a character like Elgin in CMLL. And maybe not beforehand in New Japan, really, because, I mean, the last guy that you could see that was similar to Elgin in New Japan, I guess, maybe, would have been Manabu Nakanishi, and, you know, he's, you know, one arm lift away from a massive coronary at this point. So, you know, maybe it was just something, you know, something for the new generation of fans there. I don't know. Whatever the fact is, it's worked, you know, since going to New Japan.
No, I mean, I'm happy for Elgin, so.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, it's just weird that Kushida is not being booked very well in CMLL right now. It's kind of a waste, really. I'm almost not sure why they took him over there. But, you know, what can you do? So, anyway, as we record tonight, this is, you know, again, on the third, as it happens, Kushida is not working Arena Mexico tonight, but Elgin, Tamatonga, and Tangaloa are going to be working the same side in Relevos Increíbles. It's going to be another, you know, Mexico versus the rest of the world match. On the other side is Ultimo Guerrero, Shocker, and Diamante Azul. So there's that. And also tonight, just want to say, Raijin and Fujin are working tonight too, so
that's good
always,
for them.
It's always a cause for celebration.
Very cool.
I can't wait for them to come back, because mostly because CMLL doesn't seem to put Raijin and Fujin on the streaming shows very often, so I hardly get to see them now. But moving on, some Ring of Honor stuff. We all know that Jay White's over in Ring of Honor now.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen his match yet because it hasn't shown on TV. But he got to debut against Kami Itachi. Which, you know,
I have to imagine that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was apparently a DQ finish. Because Kami Itachi's now thrown in with the Addiction.
I don't get that. That's...
Well, I mean, Kami Itachi was a rudo in Mexico.
Yeah, but I don't know. Just the Addiction just seems like a weird... Yeah, you got to promote somebody.
I don't mind. See, I like the addiction. I like the addiction.
No, I actually like the addiction, but it's just kind of like, you know, it just kind of struck me as two different types of heels, but they'll make it work.
Well, we hope it will, because Ring of Honor booking in 2016 has been a bit of a toilet, to be honest. But anyway, so Jay White's second match, which will be on Friday, this coming Friday, the 8th, is against Leah Rush, who's somebody else I'm very high on.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about him. I really need to catch up with him.
He is so good. JB, have you seen Leah Rush yet?
No, I have not.
Oh, he's great. That's all I can say. He is so good. Kamaitachi's actually going to be facing off against one of his old CMLL nemeses coming up here. Stuka Jr. is going to be making his debut in Ring of Honor, which is the first real CMLL Ring of Honor working together.
Yeah, that's actually very interesting.
That's going to be on the 16th of July in Philadelphia.
He has no relation to Rush.
Who, Stuka Jr.?
Yeah.
Chris, if Chris were here, he had like the whole rundown of who's related to who. I think it was Dragon Lee who's related to Rush. But I don't know if Stuka is related to Rush. I think maybe half of CML is related to Rush in some way or in Pyroth. You know, for whom they destroyed the Ingobernables for.
Right.
So CML booking also kind of a mess right now. But another note about Ring of Honor, did you see that they announced for Death Before Dishonor coming up in August in Vegas? Which, Steve, are you planning to go to that one? Or not really?
Thought about it, but no, probably not in the cards right now.
Yeah, for reasons.
For reasons, yes.
For reasons, yes. But Toru Yano making his Ring of Honor debut at Death Before Dishonor. Is the Ring of Honor crowd ready for Toru Yano?
I would assume by now that they know who Toru Yano is, so it might be time. Like, I think it's the DVDs he's going to sell.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
He's probably going to have his own merch table. That actually would be the worth going. Just so he can buy merch from Toru Yano himself.
From Toru Yano.
And then he could implore me to buy more. Like, no, yeah. I already have one. I don't need another one.
You already have a DVD. You have a DVD.
I have three of them now. I don't need a fifth one.
Oh right. Did you order them from New Japan?
No, I don't actually have them. I'm just making a joke. Because he's always telling people, you know, you buy 10 of them. What? I can't tell jokes.
Oh, we got jokes here. Oh, we got jokes.
What's the status on Moose? Is he gone?
I don't know. They haven't said anything officially. I hope not.
It sounds like he might be back, because the word going around, and when I say word, I mean, of course, Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, is that WWE was going to sign him, but I guess Meltzer? I don't know if you ever heard of him. It's some guy. I don't know. Some guy.
Is he like an indie worker, or what is...
I don't know. I think he's related to the Young Bucks or something. I don't know. But I guess there were some domestic abuse allegations back from Moose's NFL days that the WWE found out about, and I guess that's kind of scared them away from signing him. So.
Oh, really?
That's Dave reporting.
Oh, no.
Maybe you should talk to Lawler and see how he can get around that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, so he might end up back in Ring of Honor, or he might end up in TNA, so.
Oh, no, I had no idea. Oh, man.
Yeah. I guess it stems from his NFL days. They suspended him for a game. And I guess it just went under the radar. I don't know how much it was reported, or yeah, I didn't know about it.
Spend it for one game. Oh my god.
Yeah. Well, WWE nowadays is very sensitive about anything that they think is going to bring them any publicity or bad publicity. Yeah. Well, they lifted that suspension, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, okay, yeah.
As long as they have something written down that says that, you know, he was cleared of something, they'll lift the suspension, but.
Yeah, well, it looks like, yeah. Okay, yeah, I'm looking it up, yeah. That looks like that was the case in 2010, in May of 2010, back when he was at the Falcon. Ooh. Okay, well, you know, things are what they are.
Maybe Moose, Hanuman, Lawler can start a stable together and they can wear wife beaters.
Oh, jeez. Whatever happened to him?
Wife beater?
Wife beater. Yeah, wife beater. from Combat Zone. Yeah, him. The one that. Yeah,
manager.
The guy that, you know, ended Ryuji Yamakawa of Big Japan's career. Yeah, that guy.
My goodness.
Oh, my God.
I hadn't thought about him for a decade.
Well, when I see people on the internet going on and on about John Zandig, I'm like, are you kidding me? People, seriously? I mean, even ironically, really?
Oh,
boy. Okay, well, I guess Moose, there seems to be no movement on that, but, of course, I also recently found out that I didn't know this. I guess Moose was actually, an Indianapolis Colt for a while. I had no idea.
Hmm. It's a very simple rule. Just don't hit your partner.
Yeah, really.
Is it that hard? Is it really that hard?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, seriously, how hard is it? The answer seems to be, according to some, very, because people can't help themselves because they're, you know, violent sociopaths, apparently. So, anyway, moving on. Steve, you always bring like the sordid details from everybody.
Oh, I'm just this is the benefits of subscribing to a newsletter.
Is it actually still a newsletter, or is it an email? Does it actually come in the mail?
I think you can still get actually print versions, but yeah, it's all just on the website now.
Oh, okay. You are a subscriber to the Wrestling Observer?
Yeah, well, I've been with Figure Four since 2005, and then they merged, so kind of was forced to at that point.
Yeah.
But I've subscribed off and on over the years.
Yeah, so. I don't think I have anything else today that we need to discuss. Does anyone else have anything we need to bring up?
No, I mean, that's. We've hit a lot of. We've hit most of the New Japan points. And even kind of tiptoed outside of New Japan.
A couple of times. Well, if that's the case, then I am going to say that, yes, like I said, we're going to try to have a special show about Super J-Cup, hopefully in the next week or so, before the first night of that on the 20th of July. But we're still working on that. We're trying to get that scheduled.
Either of you reviewed 93 and or 94 Super J Cup?
I have not. Not recently. I mean, not recently.
I was actually thinking about going and watching it just leading up to it.
That might not be a bad idea, actually.
Yeah, I would actually be up for that.
That might not be.
Yeah, we should do like a throwback review episode where
we have talked before about trying to do historical New Japan talk whenever we can, but you know, there's always something going on, so we can't ever devote sufficient time.
I'm still trying to find a podcast that'll just review old AJW matches.
Oh, All Japan Women's?
Yeah.
There's a somewhere, I think Morton VH out there on the internet, I think he actually shows like the AJW. Like on one of the on like Woo or something.
Oh, okay.
I'm not
sure. Yeah, great channel. I'm actually a big fan of that channel.
But I couldn't bring it up on my laptop, on my new laptop for some reason. Something keeps blocking it. I don't know.
It's probably the easiest way to watch Japanese wrestling nowadays, especially if you want to watch it live, which for us in America, it's kind of hard for that because of the time difference. But
yeah, a lot of times we have to wait for like, you know, the Russian YouTube to have individual matches get posted to it by Real Hero. But yeah, I can't ever watch it live though, because it's on at like, you know, it comes on at, you know, 3:30 in the morning Eastern time, and I'm, you know, dead asleep because, you know, I have a straight job.
It's a little easier on me because I'm on the West Coast, but
see, everything is so tooled for the West Coast when the majority of the people live on the East Coast. This is bull.
Yeah, I was just born.
TV schedules have to be too. Oh, we can't start this game until 9 o'clock at night because of the West Coast, but the majority of the country lives in the eastern half of the United States. Okay, bros.
I mean, California. You know, there's a lot of people in California.
Yeah, but yeah, okay, California, sure, but. all right, ran over. So we're looking to do a special Super J-Cup show leading into that when that starts on the 20th of July. Other than that, I'd say probably the next opportunity to do a regular show will be the 21st of August, because that'll be after G1 Climax. The G1 Climax. Or we can even maybe do the 14th if everybody can see it by then.
Yeah, I don't think I can.
So yeah, maybe it'll be the 21st to see the G1 Climax final and however that shakes out. So I don't have anything else. JB, Steve, anything else from you guys?
No, I think we're good.
Yeah, well, I think we made all our points and yeah.
All right. Well, JB, thanks for stepping in today. For Chris. Hey,
thanks for having me. Always a good time.
And yeah, maybe we can get all four of us to do a show at some point as well. Steve, thanks once again.
Oh, no problem. As always, thanks for having me on.
And if you want to follow us or follow me on Twitter, I'm at Strong Style Story without the E in style because of Twitter character limits. We're also at strongstylestory.tumblr.com. That's the regular blog where I, you know, give show updates and all that. So, anyway, JB, do you have anything you need to plug?
I'm on Twitter, Mort Crimp Jr. I'm on Instagram under that same name. I have a comic called Brainbuster 2019. With that I work on with James Henry Dufresne. I'm contributing another story to Hidden Fortress Press's Screwjob. If you like pro wrestling and comics, I would recommend checking out Screwjob. It's really great.
Are the t-shirts coming?
Yeah, I put in the order last week, so we have to wait for the t-shirts to arrive at the printers. And then they're going to print them and then ship them to me, and then I will ship them off to you all.
Yeah. By the way, the t-shirts we're referring to is JB created a two new bootleg New Japan shirts. One is a mashup of Los Ingobernables and the Smiths with an altered lyric in Spanish from Still Ill by the Smiths. And of course, the Smiths are my favorite band, so I was all over that shirt. The other one was Shibata, and I don't recall who the other band was.
The Body.
The Body? Okay. And so that one's out there, too. So I'm going to just go put it out there. You're a big Shibata fan, aren't you?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Steve, do you have anything you want to plug or, you know, where to find you on Twitter?
No, I don't have anything really to plug, other than my Twitter, at Steve Cash. Always working on stuff, so maybe in the future I'll have something to plug, but right now, nah.
All right. Well, that's fair enough. Again, this if you celebrated the 4th of July, hope you had a good one. And if you didn't celebrate the 4th of July, I hope you had have a good week. This is Jeffrey Wessel for Steve Cash and JB Rowe and the absent Krista Massino. Episode 11, Strong Style Story. We are over and out. Thanks for joining us. Take care. Talk to you next time. Bye.
And God bless America.
USA. USA.
Sorry.
USA.
Bye.